Hello, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to Prime Business with me, Pius Kojo-Baka. Now, Ghana is expected to formally conclude its International Monetary Fund Credit Extended Facility Program next week, with the IMF Executive Board set to consider and approve the country's final program review. Presenting the 2026 Media Budget Review in Parliament, Dr. Atuforsen described the expected approval as a significant milestone in Ghana's economic recovery.
For Ghana and its debt rework.
Now, on agriculture, on the back of the 2026 Media Budget Review, government has announced measures to support agro-processing, including the removal of the 20% excise duty on locally manufactured fruit juices. Here's Minister of Finance, Dr. Kassia Latuforsen.
We will review the existing sliding scale excise rate for beer and stout product to better align them with government revenue objectives while preserving the incentive for local production. Right, Honourable Speaker, strengthening compliance through mandatory electronic registration of stockists, a nationwide track and trace system, penalties of up to 3 times the excise duty for tempering, and enforcing the law on requiring bank guarantees and abolishing, Mr. Speaker, the payment of 20% excise duty on locally manufactured fruit juice. Mr. Speaker, we will abolish the 20% excise duty on locally manufactured fruit juices introduced in 2023. Right, Honourable Speaker, this is to support agro-processing and job creation.
Meanwhile, the Chief Executive Officer of the Chamber of Agribusiness Ghana, Anthony Morrison, says the move is expected to significantly boost Ghana's agro-processing and agricultural export sector while creating more employment opportunities across the agricultural value chain.
Before the COVID, we were the biggest. As it stands now, we've lost the entire pineapple industry. We only have 2 commercial farms now left. So we think that this will go a long way to revitalize the pineapple sector and also drive some exports. You know, previously pineapple was the biggest fruit exporter among all the fruits, but now we have lost it. We also want to commend the president once again, because if you are talking about creating jobs, you know, jobs in the very physical level that are supporting economies, these are the areas that you can count. We're talking about the mango factories, the cashew processing facilities, the fruit juice, the dry fruits, and several derivatives that we are talking about. And this is what we want to see in real terms that are going to contribute positively towards the agro-industrial sector.
Now, we'll get more reactions on the back of the media budget presentation, but I've got to tell you this. Depots and terminals participating in the initial phase of the government's 24-hour economic program say they are already recording higher throughput, with some adding extra loading streams to meet growing demand. But during a nighttime visit by the chief executive of the National Petroleum Authority and other agencies, they urged the government to improve roads and street lighting in the Tema industrial area. Kwame Yanka has more.
The 24-hour economy program by government is expected to boost productivity, create jobs, and position Ghana to compete more effectively with advanced economies. Since May this year, National Petroleum Authority has been implementing the initial phase of the 24-hour program, with some depots and terminals within the downstream petroleum sector rolled on the program. During a night visit to some facilities within the Tema industrial area, the terminals reported increased throughput. Here is the head of finance and stocks at Tema Fuel Company Limited, Nanajua Kumadria.
For now, I would say yes, because before, by 5, we'd be wrapping up, and then you might have some orders still left to be loaded, which has to be pushed into the next day. So some of the drivers would complain usually that they want to work, they want to load, but then would, because we don't have the liberty to extend the time, we'd have to let them go. But since we joined in the initiative, we've had smooth operations. All the drivers get their orders loaded, and we also make sure that all the orders that comes to the facility is fulfilled. Like, we fulfill all our orders.
At Quantum Oil Terminals, Terminal Manager Ahmed Abdul Sharif says, operating beyond regular working hours enables the facility to efficiently serve both local and export markets.
In terms of redundancy, the facility is also designed with enough redundancy. Almost everything we have two of it, so one would always be backing up. So we are ready, we are designed for it. At the inception, that was the model we started with, but the industry was not ready, and so this fits right into what we are asking. And so if the downstream demand grows, we are ready to roll. And so as you see today, it's just the demonstration of that. Again here, because of the 24-hour, we're able to schedule our loading, do local, do Burkina Bay.
Despite success being recorded by these depots, there are a few challenges. Managing Director of Petroleum Hub Limited, Gilbert Tumani, shares some of the challenges.
So far, since we started, most of the volumes have been coming in the evening. It's like 60% of our volumes are mostly in the evenings than during the day, because it looks like most people go shopping for pricing. By the time they finish locking the prices and all those things, the deal, they come basically around 4 or 5 o'clock. So we end up working in the evening. It's been smooth up to now. Just some few issues. I'm sorry, when you're coming, you saw the issues with the lighting and all those things. We need to improve that. Security needs to be improved a bit. Then sometimes we have some few issues with the third parties. When it's 12 o'clock, they don't want to stay to work beyond 12 o'clock. And we're trying to see how we can manage that.
But Chief Executive Officer of National Petroleum Authority, Godwin Kuju Tameklu, assured the terminals of addressing their challenges.
I didn't want to sit in the office and pick the reports as to the nature of the road. So I've come to feel the shaky nature of the road. And what it means is that I'll carry it to central government. That it's important that, who knows, that the big push would want to have a presence here. And I strongly believe that if the road infrastructure here is much better, it will make the work of the transporters of petroleum products much easier for them. So it is something that we'll be carrying on board. That with the lightning system, remember light, energy together, and that's the ministry we work under. So we'll give this a priority.
Meanwhile, Tema Regional Police Commander DCOP Eric Asamoah-Siedu assured stakeholders of security and safety. State agencies including National Security, the 24-Hour Economy Authority, Customs, among others, have also signaled their readiness to play their respective roles in ensuring the success of the program.
From the Tema Industrial Area, this has been Kwame Yanka for Joy Business.
And I'd like to take you back to our earlier story concerning the media budget presentation. We've got more reactions to that effect. Joining us via Zoom is Sharif Ghali, the chief executive of the Chamber of Young Entrepreneurs Ghana. He joins us via Zoom for a conversation on the back of these. Thank you very much, Sharif, and good to see you. Now, having watched the finance minister present the media budget presentation, has the economic environment become more supportive for young entrepreneurs?
Thank you very much, Fayos, and the opportunity. So I hope I'm audible enough. So one thing that is clear and that we have to appreciate is that unlike the usual one, finance minister didn't ask for more money, which for me as a leader of young people is quite impressive. There's a saying that if an economy is doing well, they will not ask for more money. And I think that, I don't know what magic is doing. Even though we have seen a lot of agencies that have not been financed well or have not gotten funding, which you would have expected for him to come and say, because of these reasons, we haven't financed them and so we are looking for more money. But he didn't do that. That's quite good. Let's see what magic is doing. But it has been silent on key things that the ecosystem is looking at for. Number one, the Ejumawara. I expected to have heard figures. And one thing that has not been in this media budget review that doesn't look promising is the figures. How much has been spent on the 1 million quota out of the 100 million that was allocated, how much has been released by the finance minister? How much have been spent on Ejumawura? How much have been spent on, what do you call it, national apprenticeship? Because if you look at this government, there are three major youth-centered things. One is Ejumawura, one is national apprenticeship, and then 1 million CODA. You can then add the supplementary things like the Women Bank and that of 24-hour economy. But if you listen to the finance minister, he only made mention of Youth Employment Agency. The rest of these agencies who are implementing major government flagship program for youth, there were no figures for them. And so I think that it doesn't look youthful, even though the media budget review, he mentioned categorically clear that we are moving from the phase of fiscal discipline to job creation, and that is what the youth need. But you cannot be creating jobs when we don't know the actuals, when we don't know what we have done for the past six months. How many people have been trained or given opportunity? We don't. And all of these figures were not mentioned. And so maybe, hopefully, let's see what happens in November or when the next opportunity is given. What will they say that we have done? How much releases have been made? But at the moment, this was, I think the highlight for me is not to ask for more money and also not to increase, introduce new tax. You remember in our last conversation, it was one of the things that we were talking about, even though we're anticipating that maybe some other taxes would receive some cutoff. But I think in all, this is what we have observed so far. But as we get along, that we probe the whole statement, there are a few things we want to pick in that we will be sharing with you as we go forward.
The improved stability we are witnessing hasn't translated into better access to finance, I guess.
It hasn't. You see, so Payos, the issue is that you have a stability. CD is stable. Economic, the microeconomic indicators, almost every other sector in the economy is stable. Monetary policy rate, we have seen it. But it's we always say that when Bank of Ghana set up the monetary policy rate, or they agree on what should go on, that doesn't quickly transcend to the lending rate. So yes, this is what banks, Bank of Ghana will lend to banks, but that doesn't translate to the lending rate. So banks don't give you loan simply because now the policy rate is 14 point something. We've been talking about this. Banks are so giving loans up to 23%. So there is no direct change. And a young person cannot go to bank and pick a loan and is paying close to about 23 to 30%. That's what is still happening. So when we tout the results that there is stable development in the micro indicators, we need to be able to connect them to the actuals. One other thing I'm happy about what he said, which is important, is that at least every quarter, we need to ensure that GSS, Ghana Statistical Service, come out with quarterly unemployment survey so that we can be able to follow through and know what is happening. For me, that was also one of the other things. But for now, all of these things do not necessarily translate into the actuals for young people.
All right, Sharif, but if you could recommend one additional policy intervention before the 2027 budget, what would that be?
I think that we are inundated with policies, and to be honest with you, I would say that we focus on the few that we already have. Number one, for especially for youth, we need to look at what the Youth Employment Agency is doing. The creating of the temporary jobs, has it really helped us? This community policing, community fire service, whatever you call it, is this really what the young graduates are looking for? I think I see young people looking up to do businesses. And one of the vehicles is Ejumawura. I see a lot of young people want to have skills that can give them income. And that is national apprenticeship. So instead of giving 495 million to a YEA alone, how do we make sure that this is even, so that Ejumawura would receive more funding to be able to deliver young entrepreneurs? National apprenticeship will receive more funding to be able to train and invest in youth who have skills. This is what we need. And I don't think that we need new policies. Pious, Ghana is one of the countries blessed with a lot of knowledge, and every single day we can come up with new policies. Let's focus on implementation. More money to these programs, more funding to these programs, more support, and these programs will deliver.
All right.
And we can be talking about a different one as we grow.
Sheriff Gali, thank you so much for your perspective on the back of the 2026 media budget presentation. I'm glad. Now, let's move away from that. Managing Director of Enterprise Trustees, Joseph Ampofo, says the company's asset under management have increased from about 4 billion cedis to 5.9 billion cedis, with much of the growth driven by investment returns rather than new contributions. Now, speaking at the scheme's annual general meeting, he explained that the company remains focused on safeguarding members' funds through prudent investment decisions, stronger governance standards, and improved cybersecurity, while encouraging employers to remit pension contributions on time to maximize investment returns.
Enterprise Trustee says its assets under management have increased from about 4 billion Ghana cedis to 5.9 billion Ghana cedis, with investment returns accounting for a significant portion of the growth. Speaking at the scheme annual general meeting, Managing Director Joseph Ampofo says the company's diversification strategy and focus on prudent investment have helped deliver real returns for members despite inflationary pressures.
I'm happy to confirm that the scheme has grown significantly. From almost about 4 billion to about 5.9 billion. And we continue to see that the diversification agenda that we put in has also helped to be able to show up the assets. I mean, in terms of investment returns, when you take a look at the 5.9 billion, a majority of it comes from the returns that have come as a result of the prudent investments that we did. So quite clearly, there's a steady growth. We ended a CAGR of a very healthy CAGR, meaning that members are leaving or have their funds, which is real returns, which far beats inflation levels.
Mr. Ampofo adds that it is strengthening the company's governance and cybersecurity systems while encouraging employers to make timely pension contributions to improve investment outcomes.
For us, one of the things we've done, and we are the first in the pensions industry to do this, we got ourselves certified, ISO certified, just to be able to help us to be able to have that kind of financial prudence, cybersecurity prudence. So in terms of positioning our fund to be able to do much bigger things. The other side is the fact that we're also engaging with our service providers to be able to give us robust investment ideas. And also we're also on the market to ensure that employers pay and pay on time such that we can also invest the contributions we receive on time to receive the benefits that are due members.
Enterprise Trustee says it will continue to prioritize safe and strategic investment while exploring opportunities that deliver sustainable returns and secure the retirement of future members.
Deputy Minister for Tourism, Culture and Creative Arts, Yusuf Jaja, has underscored the importance of regional cooperation in advancing Africa's tourism industry, reaffirming the government's commitment to supporting partnerships that boost travel, investment and cultural exchange. He made these remarks at the Safari World's executive dinner with National Association of Nigerian Travel Agencies at the Safari Valley in Dewu.
The adventure continued at Safari Valley Eco Resort in Dewu as the Executive Council of the National Association of Nigerian Travel Agencies, NANTA, embarked on an unforgettable journey through Safari Eco Parks 1, 2, and 3. The delegation came face to face with a variety of wildlife, learning fascinating facts from experienced tour guides while enjoying the rare opportunities to observe, interact with, and in some cases gently touch some of the animals in their natural surroundings. The immersive experience formed part of the five-day familiarization tour organized by Safari World to showcase Ghana's growing ecotourism potential to one of Africa's largest travel trade associations. The visit culminated in an executive dinner at Safari Valley Eco Resort, bringing together government officials, tourism stakeholders, and private sector leaders to deepen partnerships and explore new opportunities for tourism growth between Ghana and Nigeria. Speaking on the sidelines of the event, Deputy Minister for Tourism, Culture and Creative Arts, Yusuf Jaja, reaffirmed government's commitment to developing Ghana's tourism industry through stronger collaboration with Nigeria and other African countries.
Let me say a very big thanks to the NANTA or to the NANTES. I think they have really set the pace. And as I said in my speech, we shall retaliate. And you know, in that retaliation and whatever, at the end of the day, one, we are coming together, we are building the unity, and again, we are going to benefit from each other. Of course, don't forget they are big brothers, but at least this step in this direction is going to help not just Nanta, but we are talking about nations, Nigeria and Ghana. And again, let me use this opportunity to thank my senior brother, Mr. Afari, at least for what I have seen today, what he has displayed. Yeah, I think he has earned my respect the more. And I think we need, as a government, need to help him and his likes, so that at least the economy in this sector can grow and grow well, so that we can compete with our neighbors, not just even in Africa, but even in across the world. At least we need to be able to position ourselves to compete whoever when it comes to this sector. And I think this is the piece, Nanta and Ghana, with what we have started, I think we should be able to get there. And by the grace of God, inshallah, we shall get there.
Founder and CEO of Safari World, Samuel Afari Date, called for greater national support to position Ghana as a leading tourism destination while encouraging stronger intra-African partnerships to unlock the continent's enormous tourism potential.
So the government must push for people to want to come to your country and spend money. It's honestly more important and more valuable than any natural resources that you could trade in. The second aspect is that I'm very, very sad to realize that Nigeria, for instance, buys between 20 and 40 billion US dollars worth of salt from Brazil, when Ghana produces salt. And also sad that we are exporting all our cocoa to foreign countries. When Nigeria is financial Moses could process its cocoa to the best of chocolates and so on. Why do we have to export to Switzerland instead of Nigeria? The trade connectivity is very, very important. And that is why for me, it's very, I'm extremely excited that the Nigerians are here. They are 250 million people and they have a GDP of over $600 billion. We don't need much. We have to tap into that market. We have to bring them here to see, feel, and experience what we have. We also have to go there, and we have to go to Senegal, we have to go to Mali, we have to go to Togo, we have to dominate the West African market, dominate Africa. Not dominate, but we have to make ourselves available to these markets to be able to tap into the world tourism revenue and to help us in development. I mean, for how long could we continue mining oil, mining timber, mining gold, and so on and so forth? It has to change.
Mr. Afari Date also highlighted the unique experiences that distinguish Safari World from others.
Tourism destroys no environment. And for the Safari World, our core values in ecotourism infrastructure, making sure that we bring people closer to nature, making sure that people come here and gain knowledge, gain wisdom in the management of renewable natural resources, be it forest resources, be it wildlife resources, be it creativity in terms of amusing resources and exciting resources and so on and so forth. So today is very important. We are happy to have so many friends that want to help us embark on this journey.
President of Nanta, Dr. Yinka Folami, praised Safari World for its bold investment in ecotourism, describing the destination as one that deserves global recognition.
I would say it with all sense of humility, but I am widely traveled and I have not seen anything like this anywhere I've gone in the world. And like he said, you know, there might be other facilities that are comparable, yeah, but the sheer size, you know, we understand from the tour we had of the facility today that there are over 400 units. I mean, that is massive, yeah? Plus the content, yeah? It is massive. And like I said, and I'll repeat it again, obviously this guy is not a normal guy. He's an outstanding guy and we will support him, yeah? We will go into MOUs, right? We will make sure that we convert it to commercial opportunities for our members. We are over 4,000, you know, in terms of membership in Nanta, and we are spread across, you know, the political zones of Nigeria. We will market it to every corner in Nigeria, yeah? And because we are brothers, we also urge Ghanaians, our Ghanaian brothers and sisters, and in the travel and tourism community, to also convert this into reverse tourism to Nigeria. I mean, let's tell our story, yeah? Our story is beautiful, and we will definitely harness this relationship and the community that we both belong to.
The executive dinner concluded the familiarization tour with a renewed commitment to strengthen tourism cooperation, promote cross-border travel, and position Safari World as a preferred destination for leisure, investment, and sustainable ecotourism in Africa.
Thanks so much for being part of Prime Business. I am Pius Kojo-Baka. For more stories, do log on to myjoyonline.com/business. Daniel Cranton is next with Prime Sports. Do enjoy.